I want to thank you for the prayers this morning, and thank Brother John for preaching here as well. My wife said she really enjoyed the service this morning, and we had a wonderful service in Dublin this morning as well. And Andrew is telling me they baptized 5 young people in this last few months. Now the devil definitely didn't bring us to get baptized. I can guarantee you that. It's God that does it. Praise God. Isn't it good to baptizing people? It was a real blessing today, because the wee girl that got baptized, her father is a brother called James, and he had some marital problems quite a time back, quite a years ago, and there was a lot of things happened, but the brother really came through for God. God really moved on him, and he became faithful, and he began to come and get right with God. And that was his daughter that was baptized today, 13 years of age. And we just thank the Lord for that. God can fix broken marriages. God can fix broken homes. Jesus said he didn't come for them that's well. He came for the sick. He's the great physician. He came for the sick. He came for the suffering. If there's no problems, nobody would need the Lord. But the world's full of problems, but Jesus is the only cure. Amen. So we just thank the Lord. We had a wonderful meeting. A brother, you'll even sang at you at this morning. I know you're a shock, but it's through. And it was great. Praise God. He sang that song. It's going to be a wake up and get up. Grave, get out of the way. If my loved ones ever gather around my bedside and the doctor says his life's about to flee, if there's a Christian in the crowd, don't go doubting. Crossing over. Don't be having any doubt. We're going to the right place. Praise God. That was good this morning, really. And the Lord really helped us to preach. I preached on the 5 identifications of the true church. God calls the church, not man. And Jesus Christ is the only way into that church. You can't come, and that church won't organize. It won't be a lodge. If it's a lodge, it's not God's church. It's a lodge. It's not God's church. There's a lot of lodges. You can join them. But you can't join the church of God. You're born into it.
Amen.
Praise God. And has a message. His message is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. That's the message of that church. And there's only one head of it. It's not the Pope. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the head of the church. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And he's coming for the church.
Amen.
Praise God. He's coming for the church. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Maybe we could stand just quickly. Romans 3 and 24. And I want to talk a little bit about Christ in you and you in Christ. Praise God. Romans 3 and 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Let us read also chapter 8, verse 1, and then verse 38 and 39, just to save time. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One more verse, chapter 12, verse 5. Romans. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before thee tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this great privilege which is ours, that we can come from thy footstool into thy throne room by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, this is a time of the year when the world goes crazy, because they use this time of the year to drink and do all sorts. But Lord, we have come to remember you. We've come to remember the greatest event that this world's ever known, the birth of the Holy Child Jesus. the greatest one that ever was born of a woman, the God-man, God in flesh, manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Father, I do humbly pray tonight that thou will touch those that need your touch tonight. Pray for Brother Timothy, you'll touch his stomach and heal him.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name. Pray for Brother Keith, you'll touch his back. Lord, that you'll heal his back in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, for my dad, you'll touch him as well.
Amen.
And his hips and his back, and you'll touch him and heal him. And rebuke the spirit of infirmity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for those, Lord, maybe that had to work, you'll touch them and bless them. May they be thinking upon you tonight. And Father, for your own people that's been faithful, come to hear your word again tonight. May you bless them and may you strengthen them. In Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, for the backslidden, for those that's gone cold in their soul, Lord, will you move upon them and speak to them and work with them and bring them again to thyself. And oh God, in the midst of the years, will you revive thy work and send a blaze of fire amongst us, a mighty revival of the power of the Holy Ghost right into their midst, I pray. Touch this preacher's lips.
Amen.
Touch the people's hearts.
Amen.
And oh God, get thyself all the praise and all the glory.
Amen.
Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost, for I need it and I want it. And I'm taking it by faith in Jesus Christ's name tonight.
Amen.
And I thank you that you undertake for me. Now Lord, I bind the works of the devil by the power of your blood in Jesus Christ's name over every life and every home. And all that's near and dear to us tonight, we plead the power of the blood over them tonight. And we ask you'll take control over their lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Bless your word now, Lord, and strengthen your own people. And continue to do touch some. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I just want to read that for way of a text tonight, and I want to talk about being in Christ. I tell you, we're not interested about being in a lodge. We're not interested about being in some group. We're not interested about being in an organization. We're interested in none of them things. But we're interested about being in Christ. And it's being in Christ that we need to be. We need to be in Christ, and Christ needs to be in us. And the definition of being in Christ is to be in Christ is to be made partakers of all his privileges. So when you're in Christ, you're a partaker of all the privileges Christ paid for. A partaker of the salvation. A partaker of the healing.
Yes,
a partaker of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A partaker of a hope that you know the Lord is coming again for you. The second coming of the Lord is near. You're going to be a partaker because you have a hope within you. Romans 5 says that makes you not ashamed.
Amen.
Praise God. So you're in Christ and you're a partaker of all the things Christ died for. Of all the benefits that are in him by reason of the union with him. You've entered into the union with Christ. Think of a union for a moment, and this here tonight's higher than any earthly union. But if you're in an earthly union, you know they used to talk about the union in the shipyard and all these places and what it was really. They used to treat workers like pure dirt, really, to be honest.
Oh,
they walked over your rough shore, as the man says.
Mm-hmm.
But when the union came in, that stopped. Because the union took up your case and the union represented you. And the union fought your case. And the union spoke for you. For you maybe didn't know what to say or what to do. The union spoke for you. The union represented you to get you the right wage, to get you the right holidays, so that you'd work under the right conditions, the right safety, and the right things. And things that weren't safe were done away with. Underpay should have been done away with. They're still struggling. But that's what the union was all about. But here's an even greater union tonight you have as a Christian. You have a union with the Son of God. You're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're in a union.
Amen.
And you're in a union with your high priest, Jesus Christ. You have a union with him.
Amen.
And he intercedes for you. He prays for you. He intercedes for you. He's fighting for you. You know why God wants us to pray? It's not really so that God's going to move. God knows already what He's going to do. But God wants us as His people to seek Him. Then He will move. But He knows from the beginning what He's going to do. But God wants us to pray, and He wants us to seek Him.
Amen.
So that we get into position for God to do with us what He wants to do. And that's what God's wanting today, praise God. So I thank God for the union. And this union's greater about being in Christ. And it's higher than any other union. You think of these earthly unions, how good they are, they're good. But this union's far superior. This is a union when a man's dying. You're in a union with Christ, and you as an individual, whether you're a brother or whether you're a sister, you can kneel before the throne of God, and the Bible says that He is a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, and you can make your request known to the Lord. And if you pray and don't doubt, you will have what you've asked for. That's what God's word says. Always remember this, that God, that Jesus Christ could swear by no greater. So He swore by Himself. Amen. There is no greater than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Spirit came to many men. The pillar of fire came to men. That was the same Holy Ghost. But it left them again. But it never left Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
The Bible says He never gave them the Spirit by measure, but in fullness.
Amen.
He's greater than any other man.
Amen.
And He's the one that's on your case.
Amen.
You're in a union with Him. You have a friend tonight that sticks closer than a brother.
Amen. That's true.
And this man, Jesus, is never late.
Amen.
One of the sisters sent me a wee song the other day where they sang about Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
And the song goes on to say, Lord, if You had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And He wept and He said, look how I loved him. But then He said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus is never late. 4 days late, according to everybody else, but He wasn't late. He's never late. And He's never lost a case. Praise God. He's on the throne tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 to 10 says this. Who have saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death.
Yes.
Abolished death.
Amen.
I want you to get that. Abolished death.
Amen.
And have wrought life and immortality, and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Not the last.
Amen.
Not the organization, but through the gospel. People today are underestimating the power of the gospel. I believe that. I believe God wants me to emphasize that when I preach. The gospel. There's power in the gospel like no other message.
Amen.
The gospel message is the original message. It's the good news.
Amen.
It's the only news that is good.
Amen.
Let me say it like that. Not only is it the good news, it's the only news that's good.
Yes.
And Christ has abolished death. Paul says death will have no more dominion over you. You say, but brother, what if I die? What about it? What about it? Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Amen.
This here's the pest house. The Bible calls this flesh the pest house. And Paul said, we will be delivered from these pest houses. We're groaning and travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're going to be delivered from these pest houses. We're getting out of here.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
There's no point making the people make an awful big fuss about these bodies, really, you know what I mean? I'm sure we're going to get delivered out of them. It's good to be to do good things. I'm all for that. But some people go to real extremes. There's people today, you know, they're spending millions of pounds on their own body. Facelifts and all sorts of lifts and all sorts of things. And they're spending the price on their body that would build a house or anything. Isn't that the truth? Now, if you have the money, go ahead and do it. Get me a heart transplant if you can afford it. But you see, one of these days, God's going to change this body.
Amen.
And every hair I have lost, I'll have it back.
Amen.
I'll be a young man again.
Amen.
Maybe 20 years old or whatever way it'll be, you'll be young. And God will change you. And you can work on it for years. And you know, no matter how you work on it, the older you're getting older. Nothing we can do about it. We're aging. We're fighting the aging. It's a losing battle. But Christ here was no losing battle. He abolished death.
Amen.
He fought a battle and won it.
Amen.
He won the battle.
Amen.
He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And it's His power in us that changes us from glory to glory, like unto His own glorious body. And not only that, but we're going to get a new body.
Amen.
A new body.
God.
I tell you, our God's wonderful, isn't He?
Amen.
Let me read you verse 13 from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep thou by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost that dwelleth in us. I tell you, it's the power of the Holy Ghost we need.
Amen.
That dwells in us. Power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The preaching of the gospel is what? The power of God.
Amen.
Unto salvation.
Amen.
Let me read you this wee quotation. But the real ordained of God, the real genuine, the real germ, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world, remember, that's really got the Spirit of God in you tonight. You were here in Christ because He was the fullness of the Word. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ, reconciling the world Himself. Do you believe that? Look, He was in Christ. Then if you were in God, a gene, a word, an attribute from the beginning, then you walked with Him here on earth. You talked with Him on earth. You suffered with Him on earth. You died with Him at Calvary. You rose with Him again. And now you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, communing with Him, the Word, as it feeds into your soul. Man shall not live by every word that proceedeth out of God. Not by bread only, but by every word. So God knew you from the foundation of the world. Before you knew your own parents, God knew you. He knew you. What about Levi? Levi paid tithes 2 generations before he was born. Not 1, 2. Because the Bible says through the loins of his great grandfather, he paid tithes. That's what the Word of God says. The blessing was going to come on Levi ever before he was born. That's the Word of God. And God knew you. And God ordained you. He chose you that you would be saved. He knew you would come. Now, God had to bring us to the place of repentance. We know that. We preach that. We believe that. But ultimately, God knew it.
Amen.
And He predestined you to become a son and daughter of God from the foundation of the world. God never wrote your name. We sang about writing a name in a book. That's that scripture. Your name was always in the book.
Amen.
He never wrote your name in the book the night you could see Him, because the Bible says that your name is in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. That's the Bible.
Amen.
Me and you didn't know it till one day we heard the gospel, and there was something in you and something in me that responded to the gospel, and we repented and received Christ and were born again.
Amen.
Praise God. But you were always one of God's thoughts. He had a thought for you, you know that.
Amen.
It says good thoughts.
Amen.
He says more than that. He says you're engraved in the palms of His hands.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, the Lord's wonderful. You and Christ, and Christ in you. If Christ is really in me and you, we will believe His Word. We won't deny His Word. We will recognize it to be the Word when we hear it, because Christ is in us and we're in Christ. Christ in us and we're in Christ. Not us in a lodge, not us joining something, but being born into the mystical body. Into the body. A mystical body by one Spirit. 1 Corinthians. Look, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So it's because of Christ You have wisdom, you have righteousness, you have sanctification, and you are a benefactor of redemption. You have been bought back. Bought back. Oh, we all run rat for a while, but the Lord bought us back, didn't he? He redeemed us. Redeemed means to be bought back, purchased. Purchased back, bought back.
Amen.
With the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And the Bible, one of the best verses, I think, is he hath not redeemed us by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood as of a lamb. Without spot or blemish, the precious blood of the Lamb. And I read you what Spurgeon said last week. If a man doesn't preach the blood, never go to him. Not the truth? Jesus Christ has paid the price for us to bring us back. Redemption means to buy back. The enemy wants to turn people away from the simplicity of Christ. He wants to complicate it. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says this. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. That's a big trick of the devil.
Amen.
He thinks you don't know enough, brother. You're going to have to learn a bit more. But sometimes that learning a bit more can take you away from the very thing that God brought you to.
Yeah.
The thing that will learn you is the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says you need no man to teach you, but the anointing which you have received will teach you all things. Now we believe in teachers. We believe in the fivefold ministry. We're not saying we don't need people to teach the Word of God. Don't you say, Brother McKinstry doesn't think we need teachers. We do need teachers, but we don't need lecturers. There's a difference.
Amen.
A teacher and a lecturer. You can be a lecturer without being called to be a preacher. But you cannot be a teacher of this Bible unless you're called to be a preacher. And my Bible says Jesus preached and taught. Praise God.
Amen.
He preached and he taught.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And we believe in preaching and teaching the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's ultimately the Holy Spirit that shows you the Word of God. But we need to start with the simplicity and keep with the simplicity. And the gospel's not a big thing. And the gospel's so simple. A brother Yule and me was just saying that it's so simple people miss it. You tell people I want you to do it. It's like in the Bible, for the wee maiden said there's a man could recover your name and of your leprosy. You know, and he told her the story, and you know, when he told him then sent him out the message and go and dip 7 times. And he said, is he joking me about that sort of thing? 7 times in that dirty water. I have pools that are better than them. And why 7 times? But you see, that's not the way God said it. God said 7 times in that particular place. And God is only one chosen place of worship. That's in Christ Jesus. That's how simple it is. It's in Christ Jesus. God's chosen place of worship is in Christ. We meet God in Christ. That's where we meet God. In Christ. And that's God's chosen place of worship. It's in Christ. And then what's the next thing you have to think? God never changes his mind about his word.
Amen.
Never. So there's no such thing that God laid out. See, some people are preaching today, you know, that well, God laid the gospel out in Paul's time. Now we have another way to present the gospel in our time. That's not true. William Branham, God's prophet, never preached that. He said, I preach what Paul preached. And only what Paul preached. And he said, for Paul baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I did it. For Paul preached the Holy Ghost, I did it. You hear him say? And even when he was caught beyond the curtain of time and he longed and wondered, he thought maybe you're a cloud and he talks about different things. He didn't understand what you'd be like when you're changed, when you die. And he said, God, let him see it. And he said his body was still on the bed and he came out of his body. And he went to the place. And he said, the people said, our precious brother. And he said, I preached what Paul preached. And they said, we are depending upon that. We're depending upon that. Do you know why they said that? Because Paul himself said, if anyone comes with another gospel, even an angel from heaven.
Amen.
Don't believe it.
Right.
Let him be accursed. And that word, let him be accursed, means there is a curse upon him. That's what it means. So someone that preaches another gospel is under the curse of God. For there's only one gospel. The true gospel. And that's a simple gospel. And we have to stick with the simplicity. Praise God. And you know, no matter how deep God's prophet preached, you could still follow it. Even on the seas. And he still brought Christ out. And all through the whole thing. That was the whole thing what it was all about. Praise God. And you see, the Old Testament, all the Old Testament, and I'm still fascinated with it, and I go into it and read it and study it, and look at different books and everything, and glean when I can, and I'm still so fascinated, because everywhere I look at the Old Testament, it's pointing to Calvary.
That's right. That's right.
Everything about it's pointing to Calvary.
Amen. That's true.
Pointing to the cross.
Amen.
Pointing to Calvary. And even the harlot Rahab, when you put the thread out, that thread was a type of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
The very thread.
Amen.
Type of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
And you know when the wee maid, the widow woman went to pick up the sticks, two sticks,
amen,
for to cook the meat, a type of the cross.
Yes.
Preparing the meat. My broken body. There's your meat. Everything's a type. Joseph been in prison. Sold for 30 pieces of silver, type of Christ.
Yes.
His father coming, and the whole story, all of it, all Christ, when Christ second coming, the whole thing.
Amen.
The gospel's all of this Old Testament, and healing, and the baptism, and the second coming.
Amen.
It's all in here.
Amen.
But do you see when somebody comes with something that's not in here, and it doesn't run through this Bible, there's something wrong.
Right.
Stay clear of it. It's a counterfeit. How do we know the counterfeit? Put it again, the real thing. Under a bright light. Under a bright light. And there's no light like the light of the gospel.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God for the light of the gospel. Praise God. Let me read you this. Many think because they speak with tongues they've got the Holy Ghost. And listen carefully. That don't mean that you that though. Let me read it again. Many think because they speak with tongues they've got the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that. Though the Holy Ghost does speak with tongues.
Amen.
What did he get that at?
Amen.
He's not saying don't speak with tongues. He's saying though the Holy Ghost does speak with tongues. Let's get that now. But until the real genuine Holy Ghost in there will cope with every word. If the Holy Spirit in you that makes you speak with tongues looks back there and doesn't agree with the rest of the word, then it's wrong spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to come from the inside, which is the word from the beginning, in the beginning of creation of God. When God began to create, bring into existence, you see. You started back there as a seed and worked down to where you are now. You were all in Christ. And then when Christ died, he died to redeem us all. And you're a part of this word. And the Bible, praise God, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Not one jot or tittle shall pass. How in the world can you, being part of the word, disagree with the rest of it or any other part of it? We must agree with the word of God. Not with somebody's idea. This is the problem. People have things they say which are not the word. And then they look at the minister, and if he says amen, the church says amen. Is that the truth?
Uh-huh.
That's no good. You need to know yourself.
Right.
You need to be reading your Bible.
Amen.
You need to be reading this book.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing, is it according to the law and the prophets? If they don't speak according to the law and prophets, there's no light in them. Praise God. Isn't it true? You see the Lazarus. You see, what's called churches today, the angels told William Branham, don't call them churches. They're lodges. They're blasphemous names. They're not churches. There's one church. One church. It's not some building a steeple on. That's not the church. The church is a mystical body of Jesus Christ. Universal.
Amen.
It's made up of Catholics that saved, Protestants that saved, Jews, Hindus, I don't care who they are. If they're saved, they're part of it. And they really are all Protestants anyhow. Just in case the Pope ever gets a hold of this message. Praise God. Isn't it the truth? Real Protestants.
Yes.
that we protest everything that's against the Word of God. Amen. William Branham was Irish Catholic, but he said he was a Protestant. Irish Catholic. Said his people weren't religious, but he's Irish Catholic. I thank God I'm a heavenly Christian. You know. Amen. I tell you, the Gospels are real. The real Word of God. We don't want to mix it with somebody's opinion. We want to have the real simplicity of Christ. Amen. Praise God. It's really simple, isn't it? Savior, healer, baptizer, and coming King. I believe George Jeffries had it right when he said that. I believe that with all my heart. And I want to tell you, he was a man of God. Isn't that right? Amen. And I tell you, it's been some wonderful men of God. I told him in Dublin this morning, I said, God brings you to a place where you get desperate. That's God. And you pray desperate. And I said, you remember, Brother Branham didn't decide one day, the angel will come today. That's not how it worked. He got desperate. He said to his wife, I am going to seek God. I don't want anything that's from the devil. My heart's right. I love the Lord Jesus. People are telling him the gift he had is from the devil. He said, I love the Lord Jesus. I don't want anything that's from the devil. He said, I'm going out into the woods so you might never see me again till I meet God. And he went away out and he closed himself away for days. Not for a few hours, for days. And he said, while he was praying, a light came on the floor. And he said, that light got bigger, and a man walked into that light. He heard footsteps coming like down a corridor, and he walked into that light, a supernatural being, an angel from the Lord. And he said, I'm sent from the presence of the Lord, so that you bring a message that will confuse people and doctors that they'll argue over for the next 50 years. He never said that. You never want to hear any of that. What you hear is, I'm sent from the presence of the Lord, because you have to take a gift of healing to the nations of the world. That's what God called them for. Because humanity was suffering, and God was in union with his people, and he was sending a tremendous gift. One of the greatest gifts this world has ever seen, because God sent it. God sent a gift. Then that little prophet comes back, you know what he says? Jeffries, Wigglesworth, were taken off the field. Wigglesworth in 1946. He said within 24 hours he was commissioned by the angel of the Lord with the gift of healing on the field. Their men had gifts of healing. And when their time came that they went, God sent him with the gift of healing to carry on the work. That's the book of Acts. The book of Acts says all that Jesus began is to be continued. But today, people never mention that part. All they talk about is doctrine. What good is a doctrine if a man's dying? And you don't know how to pray for him. What good is it if you have fancy words and fancy sermons and there's no power of the Holy Ghost behind it? You see, Brother Branham said, the same as Paul, he said that it's not just preaching, but it's demonstrating the gospel. Demonstrating it. Paul said it didn't come to you with excellency of speech and enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to demonstrate the gospel. He wants us, all these situations are opportunities that we will pray through. That we meet God. God meets with us. And the gospel will be demonstrated. That's what God wants. My time's almost up. I'm closing in 5 minutes. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
And I tell you, you know, without me telling you, you read the life story again of William Branham. You see, the devil's put out a lot of stuff to put people off it. Scarecrows, but that message is true. That was a man sent from God with a gift of healing to the nations. And that angel told him, you will pray for kings and monarchs. 7 times around the world with the gift of healing. And it's hardly ever mentioned today. All they want to talk about is doctrine. Do you know what the 7 seals is? We're in the millennium. And they talk about things that never was named. They're not in this Bible. And I tell you, we need to be aware, lest as the serpent beguiled Eve, they would beguile us through the subtlety. To take us away from what? The simplicity of Christ.
Amen.
So when a fellow says, oh, the pastor's not very deep, you watch him. You watch the man that says that. Because that's contrary to what this word says. For this word, Paul said to Timothy, he said, rebuke, exhort, and you will be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. He told him what to do. And I tell you, that's what we have to do today. Let me read you this. These are just my own notes. God was manifested in Christ to destroy the works of the devil. He came down to redeem us, to buy us back, to clean us, so that we could have true fellowship with God. God loves fellowship. That's why he made man in the first place, so that he could have fellowship. Amen. God wants fellowship with us. God wants you to pray. God wants you to seek him.
Amen.
He wants you to pray. He wants you to seek him. I've said it again. I'm making no excuses. The Wednesday night's the most important meeting, the prayer meeting.
Amen. That's true.
Brother Andrew, the day when the wee girl got baptized, he read a wonderful scripture. He read where Jesus, after he came out of the water, and after the Spirit came on him, what happened next? He was taken into the wilderness to be tempted. And it's not true. Sometimes when God blesses us in the meeting, especially in the Wednesday night, the next day the trouble starts. Same thing with the Lord. After he came out of the water, after the Spirit came on him, he was taken into the wilderness to be tempted. And he hungered after many days, and the devil came to tempt him. And he gave the devil the word.
Amen.
Amen. He could have used any power he wanted.
Right.
He could have said, devil, I'll vanish you now. Jesus could have done it. You believe me. Jesus could have spoke over the devil and said, you're going to disappear and you'll never be seen again. Mm-hmm. He had the power to do it. He had the spoken word.
Amen.
People talk about Jesus using the spoken. He was the word.
Amen.
Made flesh.
Amen.
You remember that?
Amen.
He could have spoke whatever he wanted, but he said it's written. Because he was leaving us something we could follow.
Amen.
And when the devil comes after you've had a good meeting, after you've been prayed for, and somebody you know's been prayed for, and he brings you a whole list of stuff, you just tell him it's written.
Amen.
By his stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
It is written.
Amen.
He sent his word and healed them. It is written. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It is written. Call the elders of the church. Anoint with oil and prayer, faith will save the sick. And if they've committed sin, they shall be forgiven. That's the book of James. It's written.
Amen.
Quote the word. Speak the word.
Amen.
I tell you, the word will do it.
And
he wants to come after you've got the blessing to bring you down. Look, when the other Sunday here, and I preached, not really knowing myself, but I preached and I knew the Lord was leading me to preach, and I preached from the book of Acts, you remember it, where there's no other name given under heaven. I told you, after that miracle happened, them wonderful things, they didn't say, right, fellas, you can join up with us, you're great fellas. No, no. They tortured them, more or less. They held them overnight, they done all sorts of wicked stuff on them. And I said, now you watch. He put his head up, and his sister Carl can tell you he had it up the next day. And the next thing we heard the news, Monday morning, we heard the news, somebody's going to have an operation, he'll die. 20% chance to live if he gets it. That's what we heard last Monday morning. And then Brother Sammy came round and they said, now he's all his faculties, he'll have to make the decision for the operation. And he said, no, I'm not having it. And they said that inside him it'll turn the canker, it'll do all sorts of stuff, and it'll kill him, and it'll do all sorts of things. Right? The picture, you want to hear with the pain. She was from picture. But the bleeding stopped.
Amen.
Then the next doctor came in and said he can heal himself in the baths. Oh, you're joking me. Well, 2 minutes ago you were going to operate and give him a 20% chance. You have changed your mind. Aren't you glad God never changes his?
Amen.
I tell you, always go for the second opinion. If you've got bad news, go for the second opinion in here. It's actually the first one. Amen? This is thus saith the word of God. God and you. Jesus and you are in a union. You're in a union. I'm closing. I want you to take this home with you. You're in a union. The Lord's with you. The Lord does hear you when you pray. You're in a union.
And you've got a name that you can use that's above every name. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Praise God. I'm not going to ask anyone forward or anything, but if you have somebody in your heart you want to pray for, with every eye closed, you just slip your hand up to the Lord and I'm going to pray with you. God bless you, God bless you. Praise God. Now you think of who they are tonight. Well, I pray, and you pray with me as well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, you see the hands that's raised in this service tonight. Lord, we come before your throne of grace, for we may find help in the time of trouble. We thank you that your word's the truth and we're in a union with you, because we're born again of your spirit of an incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. You are our high priest that is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. We have a right into the very holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus Christ, a new and living way. The veil is rent from the top to the bottom. It's finished. The work's done. And you're sat down and you've got the victory. And we're the benefactors of what you paid for us on the cross. Lord, I agree with everyone that's raised their hand tonight. We come into agreement. And Lord, we pray for that brother, for that sister, whatever the need may be, that you will answer that prayer for that brother, for that sister, for that boy, for that girl. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I know you're the healer. I know you're the great physician, the sympathizing Jesus. And we're looking to you tonight, Lord. Man would fail, but you have never failed. We thank you, Lord, that you're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Father, I ask your blessing upon your people tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that the Holy Spirit will move upon that young man, that the Holy Spirit will move upon that young woman, and will bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, you know all the names. We've already mentioned the brother Keith, the brother Sammy, her sister Debbie, sister Joy, and Billy, and all these different ones that we've been praying for over this last few weeks. Lord, by faith we're believing they're going to come. And we're praying that the power of God will move upon their bodies, all over them, and all through them. May they know the Master's touch in their lives. May you heal them and save them. And for those that are saved, may you touch them and renew their strength as the eagle. Lord, I pray for Brother Sammy that you renew his strength like the mighty eagle, that he'll climb the rock again, that he'll look into the heavens again and rejoice at the Most High God. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We thank you tonight that you're the healer, the savior, the baptizer, and the Holy Ghost. And you are the coming king. You are the king of kings. You're the Lord of lords. You're the lily of the valley. You're the rose of Sharon. You're the bright and morning star. You're the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You are the supreme deity. You are God manifested in flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And you're closer than the very breath we breathe. Father, bless your people now. Help them, Lord. Strengthen them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Ask especially for the sisters in this church. Lord, you know their hearts tonight, but they prayed in secret. I pray for my sisters tonight. You will grant them grace and strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break fear. And I come against the spirit of fear and bondage. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I speak peace and strength to the situation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless our sister Carl at this time. Give her your strength. Grant her your grace. May your hand be upon her, I pray, and on the whole house. Lord, for each and every other one in this room, may your hand be upon them. May you bless them. Bless the brothers that's leading the singing, the musicians, everyone, Lord, in this room tonight. Bless them. And Lord, for those that had to work, bless them as well, and those that are away.
the little children perhaps, to the little Sunday schools in different parts tonight. Bless them, Lord, I pray. And have your way upon each one of us. Now, Father, let your hand be upon us. Bless your goings out. Bless your comings in. We acknowledge you in all our ways, and we commit our path to you. And we ask you will direct our paths. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one. Don't forget a Wednesday night service as normal, and we want. Maybe I won't preach really so much Wednesday night. This Wednesday night, I want to really be praying. Amen. And then next Sunday, you pray for me. I want to try and bring a message. Really all about this time of the year, about Christ coming, all about that. You just pray for us, the Lord will help us and give us something for next Sunday, the Lord will, and praise God. And look how fast the year's gone. And it's so true, you know, we say and plan what we're going to do, and the year's gone. And you look back and you think, well, what have we done? But let's continue the remainder of this year with hope and belief. What the Lord has done things.
Amen.
Praise God. We're thankful for what God has done. And if the Lord spurs us to the new year, let's believe for something special that you need. The Lord bless each one.